You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to Wake Up Tucson. 10:30 of The Voice, local news and talk, celebrating 15 years of radio terrorism, or whatever we call around here on Wake Up Tucson. And for 14 of those, we started doing this thing called Food Friday. We thought that Tucson had such a great food scene. Chris was gastronomy before it was cool. Just going to let you guys know that. And of course, my old co-host Joe Higgins thought that somehow Chili's was a place you were supposed to eat food at. And part of his training, and he's learned. Give Joe credit. He now gets it. And we've been trying to feature local food purveyors, restaurants, resorts that are doing the right work. Mark Van Buren's here, of course, an old veteran of the hospitality wars.
Good morning, Christopher, and how are you?
Very well.
Good.
And he's going to be doing top 10 family drama movies before this is over.
Correct.
And then we're going to do third hour. We're going to also want to talk about best scenic drives in Arizona also, as we're doing road tripping and getting away from deadly thunderstorms from last night and taking a ride. So we have our good friends here from the Westward Look Resort, General Manager John Ault. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Good morning.
Get a little closer to your microphone. You guys need to be about a fist away from those. You can move them too. You can be rough with those. It's fine.
That's fine. Get a little karaoke. You're a hero.
When you mentioned Chili's, I'm thinking baby back ribs.
There you go. That's right. That baby back ribs and sizzling fajitas, right? Mm. This was the... John, welcome, buddy.
Thank you. Hey, happy Friday.
Who's this strapping young man to your left?
Well, you know what? I call him Ricardo, but Richard Lopez, our director of food and beverage at Westward Look. I got him up early today. And
yes, he did.
We took a road trip, a scenic road trip down here.
Absolutely.
And we brought some food with us and Rich hit my hand a couple of times not to eat on the way down here, so I wanted to save it all for you all.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we're collabing on this amazing August 17 event to raise money for Southern Arizona Honor Flight, which we're honored to partner with you guys. It's going to be a hell of a night. So thank you for being part of this with us.
It's our pleasure.
How long have you been the GM at the Westward Look?
Oh my goodness, I was thinking the other day. Actually, about a year and about 4 months.
Look at you.
Yeah, I'm the rookie.
You know, a year and 4 months, Mark, isn't that a veteran GM of a...
It is in these days. No question about it.
However, I've been in the business for 38 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, a long time. But it's a privilege actually to be there. It's an unbelievable place, as you know.
Yeah.
And we are the caretakers, no doubt.
I think you've done a really nice job, and you're in the middle of it, right? Is the idea of you've built the team.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? And you're really, I think you're making the right steps to, because to me, and I think you probably, it was like, well, Westward Look was one of Tucson's best kept secrets, right? And it shouldn't be because it's so great.
It's on the hill, on the hillside of Catalina's, right? The views are amazing. The food's amazing. And everyone still talks about the Gold Room, which is awesome, right? So, yeah, it's a great place.
How long has the Westward Look been around?
Oh my gosh, 1912. So it was
wow.
And that's why I saw.
Were we a state then, or
no? Actually, it was the same year. So
is that right?
Arizona became a state the same year Westward Look was actually a guest ranch. So it's owned by the Watsons, and that's why I said I'm a year and 4 months old there. It just seems like I'm a baby, but it's 1912, and the original hacienda is still there from the Watson residence, and we have a lot of black and white pictures around the resort, and but we are the original. We are the original. Number one.
Yeah, the pictures. So my buddy Margo is working with us on the event. She comes with me and meets us, and all she did was she got lost. Like, we're like talking about something and she'd be off looking at pictures because they're so awesome.
They are awesome, right? I mean, you just see the Watsons and the second owner, the Nasons, they just, you know, they're all about family, togetherness, and having the kids there and enjoying the horses. And it was a working guest ranch, a horse ranch.
Yep.
And when those black and white pictures, you see all the fun they had. It's just, you know, kind of just, it's just a great memory when you see these things, you know, for what you had when you were a kid, when with your family.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's such a great part of Tucson's history and it still lives at some of the guest ranches that are still there. But that guest ranch experience is, it's integral to the tourism industry of Tucson over the last 100 years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have, we're on 80 acres, too. So we have up to 18 horses during the season,
yep.
The hotel season, our season here in Tucson. Right now, I've got about 11 horses, so we actually do trail rides on the resort grounds, which is really cool. And then a lot of people don't know, but we actually have a tennis and pickleball club there, too, which is best
pickleball.
Price in Tucson. Pickleball. So you got to come check us out, because I just put in 8 new pickleball courts that are there have light so you can play at night.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Mark and I are now weekly pickleballers.
Who's the best? Who's better?
He is.
Oh, that was quick.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. He is, but he better watch out because I'm getting in shape.
Mark's catching up to
really?
Him.
Does he just stay outside the kitchen there and just hit everything that goes by? Doesn't move.
I'm one of those guys who's always trying to put some sort of spin on the ball.
Oh, me too. By the way, I need to go there and play some pickleball.
Too much. So
well, there is a rumor that the gentleman here to my right is not a novice at pickleball.
It is a rumor,
but he is. One of these guys.
But my nickname is the Condor.
Nothing gets past
him. Yeah, the thing that annoys me about Chris, though, is he switches hands, so there's no backhand.
I do, too.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
There's no backhand.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Certain balls I'll backhand, but if I have enough time, right, okay. On a ball to my left, I will switch to my left hand and...
I feel a challenge coming
down. I could think about was Rod Laver switching hands. You know,
maybe we should team up. We could be champions of the state. There we go.
I'm okay with that.
All right, done.
I enjoy my time with John. We can do it. So, hey, let's go to break, Matt. We're hanging out with the boys at the Westward Look Resort. They brought us some amazing deconstructed breakfast tacos. Mm. Matt, I see you're eating it.
The verdict is... Awesome.
Capital A.
John, what's the Westward Look Resort website so people can follow along?
www.westwardlook.com.
I love it when it's easy. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. All right, we're doing a Jazzy Friday here. That's one of the greatest named jazz groups of the last 20 years. It's called Snarky Puppy. And they actually played the Tucson Jazz Festival, I think, two or three years ago. So, not three or four, but we're hanging out on a Food Friday. John and Rich are here from the Westward Look, the fabulous Westward Look Resort. Mark Van Buren from the Van Buren Resort is here. So
the Van Buren Resort, really?
There should be a resort called the Van Buren. There's definitely a hotel called the Van Buren.
Well, there's someplace. A street in every city in the United States because of my great-great-great uncle. So
who's that?
Martin Van Buren. Number 8, baby.
His name's Van Buren.
Yeah.
And again, that was the gang that that Kramer was trying to get into in Seinfeld.
Yeah, the Van Buren gang.
Van Buren boys.
And
such a great show.
Your accountant and my accountant is on Van Buren Street in Tucson.
Oh, that's true. Right off of...
Did you know that?
I did not. Off of 22nd.
Yeah, that's Van Buren right there.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I'm always got my head on a swivel over there, so...
I understand.
It's 22nd, for God's sake.
See if there's any bullets flying around.
We don't call it Kazakhstan for any reason. So remember, August 17th, we're going to be doing this amazing night at the USO at the Westward Look Resort. Again, $45 at the door. Cash or credit. John is not taking any of your clown checks, so... We're not doing that, but cash or credit, and it's a mandatory RSVP. If you're not on the list, Mark and I are going to kick you right out the door. That's what's
and
happening.
It's actually in the famous Gold Room.
In the Gold Room.
That's true.
Yeah.
So we're going to have a heck of a time for this wing ding before it's over. So, all right. So what's going on at the Westward Look? So, you know, in relation, I see you got a whiskey Del Bac, Del Bac whiskey. Dinner coming up. What's going on with that?
All right, Ricardo, it's all you.
All right, so we are partnering up with
Get on your microphone a little bit better.
We're partnering up with Del Bac. We feel that part of our tradition, our history, that Del Bac is a perfect partner in Tucson. They've been here for many years. They do an amazing job. They give tours out. So we feature a couple of their cocktails. Their Dorado, their classic, and Manhattan's Old Fashions. So we paired up and said, let's do a dinner. So we're going to do a dinner in the Gold Room with Del Bac, a four-course dinner for $125 a person. It is going to be on August 30th at 5:30. You can get tickets at westwardlookopentable.com. You can find it there.
Nice.
We'd love to have you. It's going to be an amazing event. And we'll do some of these events around the road. We'll do a beer garden stuff. We'll do tequila tastings. We have a lot of events going on at Westward Look.
So what makes Del Bac whiskey different than the average whiskey?
It is a single malt American whiskey.
Right.
The only one of its kind. It has its own category currently.
Nice.
The owners, the story goes that they fell in love with Scotch, but they had no place to produce it. And they're not going to live in Ireland. They're not going to do that whole thing, right? So they came to Tucson, said, how do we do this here?
Right.
So they use actual mesquite. So you're going to get a very unique flavor profile.
Right.
Sure. And if you're expecting this malt kind of bourbon, you're not getting that. You're getting Arizona.
Sure.
Their Old Pueblo is like moonshine. But it's so good. It's dangerously good because you mix it with something like Kool-Aid and you're like, woo.
there you go.
If you remember those Everclear days. So
I do. That was my first concert in Colorado.
Everclear, I never heard
Moody
of
Blues.
That.
So it's a dangerous combination, but their Dorado and their Classic are their go-tos. The Classic is very much hit that with that little smokiness, mesquite flavors. Dorado is that full-blown, I'm in Tucson. I'm tasting mesquite, and it's a single malt. It's a small distillery. They do have their own barrels. They do tours on a daily basis, and they'll show you the whole process. It's amazing what they do over there.
So we've got a Delbach burger too, Rich, don't we?
That's right.
Let's talk about some food, baby. Wow.
Come on. I like that.
I mean, sounds all good. And my buddy Carl, by the way, if he's listening, is like, oh, yeah. But you have a Delbach burger.
So back in when I was a kid, one of my favorite burgers was the Bacon Western Cheeseburger, Carl's Jr.
Sure.
And when I tasted
it. Was for me for that place. That was the king of their burger.
Right? It was the bomb.
Yep. So thinking of all these events to do and partnering up with Delbach, I'm like, you know what? I can pair up a burger with a old fashioned. So that was my first process. And then we're like, okay, what are we going to do with this thing? So we did smoked cheddar cheese. We have a bacon fudge. We have a Delbach.
Bacon fudge.
Oh, it's like so delicious. It's like, eat it by itself.
Why didn't that make it into the car right down here? As I'm going.
You guys brought these beautiful deconstructed breakfast burrito tacos. Yeah. I would have put some fudge on there.
Yeah. So you layer it on top there. You put the Delbach cream sauce on it. We also have orange bitters in it.
Oh, nice.
We mix it in with the meat.
Yep.
And it stacks about 3, 4, 5 inches high.
So that's currently on the menu.
It's currently on the menu. It is amazing. I can't finish one. Personally, no, about half.
So it's been interesting that there's been a kind of a, I think people need to realize about the options of eating there, right? So you kind of move things over to the Lookout Lounge area, but then there's the Palm. Explain that transformation, John.
Yeah, well, so interesting you said Lookout Lounge. So we have to it's in the process of being renamed. So it's going to be the Palm Grill, which is the bar part of it now.
Correct. Gotcha.
So when we didn't really close Gold down, Gold's now a reception space for anyone that can enjoy Gold. Anyone can. But so Palm, with the old Lookout, it has a history of music there, right?
Oh, sure.
It has a huge history of music. We still do music in there.
Every Friday. Sunday nights we do jazz.
Yep. I'm telling you, so your former director of sales that we know.
Michelle Steenson.
Michelle, love her to death. I remember sitting with her. This is before you were there, right? And I go, hey, I remember when you guys used to do music in the Lookout Lounge. She goes, We still do.
Actually, everyone I speak to, you know, outside of work is like, yeah, I remember Gold. And by the way, I met my wife at Lookout Lounge on a Wednesday night.
True.
You know, we used to dance it up and tear it up. And you guys still do music? Like, yeah, we still do music. So, so now it's Palm Grill. And the nice thing is what we did is there's three areas that you can actually sit and eat in now. There's three different kind of ambiances, I would say, that you could do. So you can sit in the bar, watch TV in Palm Grill. You can go on the terrace in outside of Palm, and you can look at the beautiful, all the way downtown. You can see all the way to Mexico.
Oh, that's one of the best views of the city. No question about it. Yeah,
it's unbelievable. So, and the other part is really cool is that the Palm Restaurant is actually the original restaurant of Westward Look. It was built back in the 1940s.
Oh, it's beautiful.
So it was meeting space.
Gotcha.
And now it's back to its roots. So really, Palm Restaurant is older than those folks out here that remember Gold, because that could have been their first date.
Right.
So Palm was open from the 1940s. So you really have a choice of three different places. You can go to the bar, hang out, watch some sports, have breakfast in there. You can eat on the patio if the weather's nice. And you can go into Palm and have a very romantic dinner. There's a beautiful fireplace. It's all original.
It's got the white brick feel,
yeah,
to
it's
it,
all
right?
Original there, too. The ceilings, the brick. And there's some great black and white pictures in there, too, that sure. From the what I mentioned earlier today, the Watsons and the Nasons, with all their family pictures in there and celebrations. Is amazing.
So, again, breakfast, lunch, and dinner in that Palm Grill, Palm area, 7 days a week,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
And what's hours of operation for that, so the Wakeys know?
Seven to nine.
Okay.
We stay open. We feature happy hour on a daily basis, 4 to 6 p.m. We have a food happy hour menu that ranges from sliders, poppers, wings, traditional stuff like that. But the best part is I think that $4 cocktails, $5 draft beers, $4 wines, can't beat that.
That's very reasonable.
You can't
really
beat
is.
That, right?
Yeah.
Did I approve those prices?
The problem is you had one too many $4 cocktails, then you approved it. That's what happened.
That's the trick.
Actually, Mitch and I talked about it as I came back.
Have a couple beers.
Let's get people back
sign
up there.
This, John.
And that's my goal with all, this whole relationship together is I want more people to discover it because they're driving past it.
Right.
Yes.
Right? Ina and Oracle is the number one traversed intersection in Pima County.
Right.
Right? And they're not, and that's why every time I go up there, I have a great time.
Yeah, turn right. When you're heading to Oro Valley, man, right before you go to Oracle, turn right, and you're sitting in the line of traffic about 30 cars, you could see Westward Look Drive, just turn right.
Yeah. Take a little detour.
Take a little detour. Pet a horse. We got goats. We got pygmy pigs. We got horses.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's all down the Staples down there.
I know the horses. I don't know about the goats and stuff.
We got goats and pygmy pigs now. I think we have six of them down there now.
And then also you're selling memberships to your sports club, right?
We have a sports club. Yeah, we've got we have a spa there too. So if you're a sports member, you get discounts on the spa for spa retail and spa services. You get discounts on food and beverage. You get one free night a year with your family at Westward Look.
And pickleball.
You get pickleball, which you and I definitely have a tournament going on for that. Tennis courts. We got six tennis courts, eight pickleball courts, five lap lanes to swim in.
Nice.
We have a fitness center. You can walk around the acres. We have dirt trails to walk on, hiking trails. It's fantastic.
You got a little city going on over there,
buddy. It's old school up there. And when you're there, you feel like you're not in Tucson. You feel like you're up on the foothills. It's just a separation from society a little bit.
I love it. Yeah. I love what you guys are doing, man. The place is beautiful.
Yeah.
Always have a great experience there, and more Wakeys need to be participating. Yeah. So
come back, you know, and bring your girlfriend, wife, you know, or celebrate.
I love it. I love it. Rich, I'm going to ask you both of you guys a question. Only about a minute. Top two locally owned restaurants that are not your, that's not at your place. Where do you like to go?
Nana's. Nana's in off of Cortero in I-10.
Yep.
Marco and Javier do an amazing job.
The Margarita Champions.
Had to mention that, right?
I don't want to say Margarita Champions because I think we were robbed. Personally, we were robbed. That's all I got to say. It was something.
Hold on, I got one for you.
Fake news.
we're going to have to question what tequila they actually used in their margarita.
But those two guys, whatever you want to drink, they'll come up with some crazy concoction for you. And that's the best part of that place. It's like a Cheers.
I love it. John, give me a place before I run out of time.
You know, dude, last time I was on this thing, I don't go outside my bubble in Oral Valley, so I'm going to go with Nana's, too.
But you're also a Rancheros guy.
I am, man. I know. Really, anything
we
that
have
has
the best Rancheros.
We do. Anything that has a taco, by the way.
Well, those quesadillas I had with you that day lunch was very good at Palm.
By the way, we did take first place in People's Choice with the World Market
Championship.
Nice.
Westward Look Resort.
Nice.
Or we'll have a government shutdown, and we'll shut those down. So
right.
That's what I always love about the government shutdown. So there's not much to, you know, during the government shutdown that you have to do except, you know, mow the lawn a little bit. And they literally, you know, they put the barricades around.
They found enough essential employees to at least put barricades up, which is, you know, really. And then Bob Dole goes around and takes down the barricades so the veterans can see the World
War II
Memorial.
Bob Dole's not going to put up with this. Bob Dole's taking down these barricades.
Bob Dole didn't cotton any of that.
You are correct. Mark Van Buren, welcome back, buddy.
Good morning.
Had a good time with the Westward Look crew.
Yeah, good guys. Like I said, I wish them a lot of luck up there because I think it's a beautiful resort, and I would agree that it was a secret for a long time, and I think these guys are really changing that and getting people to go up on the hill. So
now John's the real deal, man. I think he's I have encountered many a GM at the Westford Look over the last 20 years, and so far he's the best I've seen. Just dynamic and out there and understands the situation. And he's trying to have he's having fun with it, which is important. Because that's one thing. Mark and I have been to so many Visit Tucson tourism or resort meetings, and everyone looks miserable in the meeting.
Yeah. It's just like, well, why are you in the business if you don't, if you hate it that much?
You know, I remember, like, Mark and I are sitting at one of these Visit Tucson breakfasts. I'm like, look at these people. They're like, they're digging graves.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, you guys are selling golf courses, massages, great food.
Exactly.
You know, hot tubs. Let's do it.
Hot tub.
Anyway. So now we're going to take a go from a very fun segment to family dramas.
Family drama movies. And what's interesting, I looked at the whole list, and I just love the list of movies that I've selected because there are a lot of my favorites just all around, but there's life lessons in almost all of them too, and it's just it's an interesting thing, and there's various dynamics of families. A lot of times it comes from broken homes, like the first movie that I'm going to do, where couples are divorced, and how does that affect the family and that type of thing. So getting into the first
so the family drama genre, is this something there had to be movies in the 40s. I'm trying to remember, like, kind of the proto family drama.
Actually, I'm trying to think of the oldest one that I have, but because I didn't write 64, I think is the oldest one I have.
I mean, you had Family Stories, of course, but in relation to
I could have gone back into the 30s and 40s.
Right.
You know, there's some movies that I can think of now that I could have put on the list, but again, I tried to keep it a little bit more modern, and I think I gave you a diverse group.
I think post World War II, we started getting in that way, and then, you know, filmmaking changed in the 60s a little bit.
Well, I could put some Ma and Pa Kettle movies in there.
Life with Father, kind of stuff.
Yeah. I kind of grew up with a lot of those things because at a very early age, I watched movies. I watched a lot of black and white movies.
Because I think about it, there's a family drama. I want you to get going. I'm going to look it up, but it's one of my favorite movies, and you know it's one of my favorite. It's a 1941-er, but
okay.
Let's get going on your
first
list.
First one is Chef. Done in 2014, so it isn't that old, and it's got a great cast. It's got Jon Favreau, who is also the director, Robert Downey Jr., Scarlett Johansson, Dustin Hoffman, Bobby Cannavale. Love him in this movie. Anyway, it's the story of a chef who is working. He's very frustrated because he's working for Dustin Hoffman, who owns the restaurant. And he's a very talented guy, and he was touted in a lot of food magazines as being an up-and-coming chef. However, Dustin Hoffman won't let him expand upon that. He wants his menu. And so he's very frustrated. And the long and the short of it is a reviewer for restaurants comes into the restaurant, has a meal, and just lambastes him. Lets him have it, and he's upset because that's not even his menu, and he hasn't done any creativity with that menu at all because of the fact that Dustin Hoffman wants basically steak and potatoes type of thing, and he's very, very frustrated. So the long and the short of it is he ends up quitting or getting fired. It's debatable which one that was, but he ends up buying a food truck. He's in California. He ends up buying a food truck in Miami. And he's divorced and he has a son. And so he asks, and he's friendly with his ex-wife, who is Sofia Vergara. He ends up taking the son and going to Miami, picking up the food truck, cleaning it all up, and making this trek across the United States. And along the way, they start cooking for people. And it's very inspirational, especially for people like us because we're food people. But you see this, and they just love what he's doing on the food truck, and at the same time, he's reconnecting with his son, and it is just it's a real good feel good movie. It just is,
because part of it also that sets up the kind of the spiritual reunion with his son is the idea that you work these crazy hours, in the restaurant business, and you're divorced,
yeah.
So you're quality time with your kid is almost non-existent.
Yeah, and that's what was so nice about this, because they're spending 24 hours a day with each other on this trek across the United States, and it was just really cool, and it was really nice to see.
I think also too is we see these food trucks out there. People see them.
Yep.
Right. But I think the average bear doesn't understand kind of the inner workings of how this whole thing goes down the food truck. Right.
Sure.
And so what's not just the idea of cleaning up the thing and cooking in it. Right. But there's also this. It actually brought up the social media marketing aspect of food trucks. Right. And any restaurant should do it. But
which I think a lot of them fall down on.
Right.
Because they, you know, it's kind of like build it and they will come type of thing, where they just think, yeah, I don't have to do any of that. I just show up at these, you know, these events or whatever. And that is not the way to do it. You really promote yourself and you get a following, and people will follow you on the internet, and they will come out to
see. I know you thought about this. If you were ever going to do a food truck concept, what would you do?
It's tough. I think you need to have something unique. The big thing for me is, no matter what you do, it's got to be good and it's got to be fast.
Right.
And the thing is, I think people come up with these concepts and I won't mention, I've had some dealings with food trucks, you know, putting on some events and what have you.
Yeah.
And some of them, they take so long to get the product out. It's just like, what are you doing?
So back to my original question, what would you do if you did a food truck?
Mm.
Wow.
Fried chicken.
Fried chicken.
Fried chicken.
That doesn't take too long?
You
got to keep cranking it.
You build it up, man.
Correct.
Fried chicken. I love fried chicken.
Matt Neely, if you were going to do a food truck concept, what would you do? What would you like to see out there, maybe?
Again, getting back to what Mark says, which I agree with 100%, is it's got to be fast. So something like gumbo, where you can just bang out, do the scoop of rice, throw the gumbo in there, get them on their way. Something with a good roux, something that you can serve up quickly and people can enjoy.
I like that. I'm going to call it Matt's Gumbo Shack. That's what I'm going to call it.
So. The movie, not only the social media and building up the food truck, but the movie dealt with the social media of... the pitfalls of social media.
Oh, I know.
The beginning.
Because after the reviewer slams him, he invites her back and tells her to
F off.
Something.
Go somewhere. Yeah. And anyway, it blows up.
Yeah.
And he's like trending and all this stuff. So it was cool.
I love that movie from start to finish.
Yeah,
it's such a great movie, such a well written and well done movie. And the one line that I always think of is, you talk about him reconnecting with his son and kind of rebuilding that relationship.
Yep.
And they're in New Orleans, and he goes over to Cafe Du Monde and gets beignets.
Yes.
And the kid wants to tear into it. He says, no, no. Enjoy it. Savor it.
Yep.
You can only have your first beignet once.
That's
nice
true.
Nice line.
Great line.
Yeah. The first time I went to New Orleans, I went there as well because people had told me about it. And I just absolutely loved the experience. It's just, if you've never been in New Orleans and you do go, you have to go there for breakfast and have beignets and coffee. So
maybe I'll tell you the on-air my first time at Cafe Du Monde story. If I was going to do a food truck,
yeah,
I would do paninis, right? Totally easy to do. Bread, throw meat, cheese in, throw in panini maker, serve. They're amazing if done correctly. And then I've always wanted to do the vertical spits. I want gyro and pastor, al pastor. Two spits, that's it, let's go.
Yep.
And I'll put it on a salad and a pita, on a tortilla, whatever you want. Boom.
I don't think you have to have a wide variety in a food truck. I think it's just like we just said, it's got to be fast and it's got to be really good.
That's the beauty of Malta Joe, right?
Yep.
I got pastitsis. He's already made them, blah,
that's
blah,
it.
Blah.
Boom.
You know, hot, boom, here's a pastitsi.
Yeah.
Oh, you want another one? Here's another pastitsi.
No, I know. He does really, really well at the Rito Farmer's Market. And, you know, I've watched him, and it's just like it's a constant flow to him. And it's right there. I mean, you pick it up and go.
7:46 in the morning, Chris and Mark talking about top 10 family dramas. We got a lot of drama here on Wake Up Tucson.
We do.
Give us a call, 790-2040, with your favorite family drama. And, of course, Bunker's here, so can't wait to hear about Legends of the Fall. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice.
Come on. You are fake news.
Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. All right, 7:50 in the morning. Christy Simone and Mark Van Buren. We're doing a Jazzy Friday. If you missed the amazing quip by Umpire John earlier in the show, we're playing music that would drive Joe Higgins right into a soccer match. So I thought that was So we've only got one. We're only down one movie.
We're only down one movie. And we got Bunker. So
you're staying till nine.
Yes.
Let's go to Bunker on line two. Bunker. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Buongiorno.
Buongiorno. You betcha.
I love hearing him say that.
This is amazing. At 7:10, I found out what the topic was, but it's such an easy one that I love it. I'm going to start out with this. Actually, it's kind of a double header. It's Old Yeller, 1950.
Oh, love it. Yeah.
Director Robert Stevenson from the book by Fred Gibson. And anybody that's got a young teenager out there, make them read it. No, don't ask them. Make them read it. It's a wonderful book.
I agree.
So again, we did dog movies on the show.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And we had two grown men calling up the show, just like you, and when talking about Old Yeller or Where the Red Fern Grows.
Red Fern Grows, yeah.
I had grown men crying on the air. Just want to let you know.
You should. Well, you know, this had
correct.
Bess Parker, Dorothy McGuire, Tommy Kirk, Jeff York, Kevin Corcoran, Chuck Connors. I think it might have been one of his very first things. They filmed it out in Aberson Ranch in Sherwood Forest. And this was also Disney's first film, movie and not cartoon, out of Buena Vista. And it's a family, young boy, gets his dog. It's Texas farm life in 1886, and it's really an accurate description of that life. And because this is a doubleheader, Old Yeller, he had a son named Savage Sam, who came along in 1963, directed by Norman Toker, Brian Keith, Tommy Kirk again, Kevin Cochran, Dewey Martin, Jeff York, Royal Dano. And in this one, it's Keith and the neighbors, they go out to try and find the kids that have been kidnapped by the Indians. And a good old Savage Sam, the son of Old Yeller, he helps track them down.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
Does Savage Sam make it to the end of the movie?
He has a better outcome than the other.
That's good. Thank God. I can't take two of those in one shot here. Jeez.
Yeah, and now this one, I know this is a shock to you guys. You would never expected this, but it's Legends of the Fall.
I don't know who said that about
it. Yeah, uh-huh.
Nobody would ever think of that one. But, it's Edward Zick directed it from a novel by Jim Harrison. The director of photography, John Toll, won a Oscar for Best Cinematography. And, of course, the cast, as everybody knows, Brad Pitt, but also Anthony Hopkins, Julia Ormond, Aidan Quinn, Henry Thomas, a couple of great Indian actors in there. I won't go into their names because they're hard to pronounce. But it's a sprawling family saga about three brothers raised in Montana by their cranky old father, who's an ex-cavalryman that quit the cavalry because of the way they treated the Indians and the bloodshed. And then this is the prize. This is the ice cream on top of that pecan pie.
There you go.
It's Horizon, an American Saga, Chapter One. And I saw it, and it just totally blew me away. This is the Kevin Costner movie
that just came out.
It's dense. It's complex. You got to pay attention. There's a lot of similarity to How the West Was Won. This is planned as a four movie chapters, and it's written, directed, produced, and starring Kevin Costner. He also catered it, so that's very important. But it's a humane and very hopeful drama. It's crisply drawn characters, wide lands. The landscape is just blows you away, and the cavalry sequence in there. It's the closest I think to anybody channeling John Ford. The old sergeant in there, he is a John Ford character. Folks, you need to get out there and get behind it. It was originally, Chapter 2 was supposed to come out on August 16. That's been postponed because the initial response to it has been slow. Hey, so some people are getting timid feet, but it will be on Paramount, I think Paramount Plus, in about 3 or 4 weeks. But see it, please.
Now, this is something Costner's been working on for decades to get done.
Yes.
And then I guess the idea also, the way the story is that you have these, I think there's four different characters and they have these interweaved stories, right? That are
actually it's even more than that. It's a very family thing. And although it's a dysfunctional, broken families, but, it's that struggle. And I tell you, it blew me away. The complexity of the people. It's one of those films where almost every person in it, you could just take and go off and do the rest of the movie about them. And the only drawback that movie has is it has a lot of beards, and so it may take you a little while to sort out the faces. But the wardrobe, the cinematography, the Indian raid at night, on this first settlement of Horizon is one of the best shot Indian fights I've ever seen. And my boys get to win. The Indians win.
All right. Well, great job, Bunker, as always, my friend.
Thank you, guys.
Thank
Wonderful
you.
Show.
Thanks.
There Appreciate
you go.
It.
Bye. We got a couple minutes. Let's see if we can sneak one in.
I can sneak one in. I did want to mention you can see Chef on Stars and Hulu for
okay.
free. Yeah. Field of Dreams is the next one up for me. 88% on Rotten Tomatoes. You can see it on Amazon Prime. It was nominated for Best Picture, Original Score, and Adapted Screenplay. I love the movie. I know you're not such a baseball fan. I'm a huge baseball fan.
No. You're getting me wrong. Yeah. I'm a huge
not
baseball
now.
Form before 1993.
Yeah. Anyway, I love baseball, and this is a story of a guy who hears these voices, build it and he will come, and he builds on his cornfield in Iowa a baseball field. And what ends up happening is heroes from the past come down from heaven and visit and play on the field, and people will come and pay in to visit. And the most telling point in all this, because he makes all these sacrifices in order to put this field on, and he's doing it with his family there. He's got his wife and daughter, and he's putting him at peril because he's risking, you know, harvesting more corn and that type of thing. But the thing that really got me about this movie is his reconnection with his dad. His dad, who was a baseball player,
the core of the whole movie.
He was estranged from his son, Kevin Costner, and they have a conversation, and then he's walking out and he said, "Hey Dad, do you want to have a catch?" And it always gets to me.
Sure.
Always gets to me.
Ray Liotta in his least scummy role ever as Shoeless Joe Jackson.
Oh, he was fantastic in it.
Yeah.
He was really good.
And James Earl Jones is great in this also.
Absolutely. You can see it on Amazon Prime.
And
check it
Burt
out.
Burt Lancaster.
Burt Lancaster, my favorite.
7:59 in the morning. Mark and I will be back. We have 8 more movies to go. You're on Wake Up Tucson.